Welcome back to the CNET News.com Reporters Roundtable. I'm Charlie Cooper here with my colleagues Harry Fuller and Michael Kanellis, and on the line, Declan McCullough. Now, as our regular listeners know, on this roundtable, normally we attempt to go beyond the big headline of the week, but this time we're going to try something a little bit different. We'd like to start by talking about our audience, that is, you folks, or more precisely, a subsection of the audience. There is one news topic in particular that's triggered overwhelming reader feedback ever since we began covering the topic closely, and especially this week, and that, of course, is the subject of global warming. Earlier in the week, we published an interview with Terry Root, and she's one of the co-authors of a UN report on the impact of global warming on the plant and animal kingdom. Folks, when you have a chance, you should check out that Q&A and look at the flames in the talkback section, because it's something to behold. So to my roundtable, let me throw this out for starters. Harry, Michael, Declan, does this have more to do with, I don't know, the sociology of internet talkback, or is it the subject matter? Because there are lots of people who believe that this is all bogus and being perpetrated by a bunch of left-wing lefties. Stunned silence.
Let me just say something general, and then Declan should give us his argument for why none of this stuff matters and it's all a hoax. But I think this is one of those issues that cuts across everybody's lifestyle. If this is true, even if it's a true hoax or if it's true science, everybody's going to have to change things. Nobody's comfortable. Nobody's safe. This is HIV times 50, and that's why people are freaked out. The danger, if it's real, is huge, and it's universal, and that's why it makes everybody one way or the other uncomfortable. Now Declan's got to tell us why he thinks it's a hoax.
Wait, before Declan tells us why he thinks this is all a bunch of malarkey, to the point, I mean, what do you think? Why is it that this one particular subject grabs people in such a visceral way?
Well, I think Harry hit it off right there. I mean, basically, it's going to cut across everyone's life. On the people who, like, and I believe global warming is human-induced, people do see a danger to the Earth. They see species going away. They see, like, there's going to be mass starvation in Africa. There's going to be big problems in America. If the Sierra Snowpack goes, forget California agriculture.
I'm looking forward to Houston being underwater. I think that's going to be a high point.
The people who also don't believe in global warming are afraid, like, their cars will be taken away somehow, or that they'll have this lifestyle imposed upon them by people they particularly dislike, people like Al Gore and things like that. A lot of it is the psychology. A lot of it also, too, is the fact that they don't like the people talking about global warming.
Declan, what's your take?
Well, I no longer have any faith in the media. I was misquoted before I even said anything.
Wait a minute. Are the media.
It's Pogo. We have met the enemy. It is us.
So in terms of global warming, I mean, when it was just a bunch of scientists talking about it, our readers weren't really responding as much or as severely or as intensely as they are now. But it has become political. There's lots of funding that's at stake if you're a scientist getting government money. There's lots of headlines to be made if you're a politician calling for new regulations. And so it's gone from just a scientific debate to a political debate to a policy debate to are we going to impose a significant cost in the economy now in hopes of avoiding even larger costs later? And when it becomes political, that's when our readers care.
You left out the money for the oil companies, too. I noticed that. There'd be money for, you know, scientists and all that, a few billion here and there, but nothing like that. The oil company profits.
You know, good point. I'm just looking at the current issue of The Economist. You talked about politicization. Well, in 2001, this Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they predicted global warming would lead to, and I'm just reading off here, greater numbers of extinctions, growing shortages of water, high incidence of tropical diseases, lower yields from agriculture, fishing, and forestry, et cetera, et cetera. And now, in this most recent report, and this is science, this is not conjecture, philosophizing, or bloviation by journalists on a Friday, they're saying that, yeah, it came true, but we were wrong in one respect. All of these calamities, they're happening faster than we originally thought. So, again, I pose this, what is the Why the blowback? Why are people, some people, so violently rejecting this seeming factual argument?
Let me make a couple of observations. One, I spent some time Googling around, and I looked at some of the more right-wing newspapers in Europe. They don't doubt global warming. This is primarily a North American phenomenon funded by a certain number of fossil fuel companies. You look at other places. I looked at the Telegraph, which is owned by Murdoch, which is way to the right. I mean, these guys believe in the monarchy in the United Kingdom. They're not doubting global warming. They do have some quibbles with some of the science being exact or inexact, as any rational person should. Science is a game of percentages. It's not a game of absolutes. I mean, Newton wasn't right about everything, but guess what? My car, my airplane flight, anybody who sends me an email depends on science, and yet they turn around and say, we don't know enough about global warming, so let's not do anything.
Yeah, but with our audience in particular, it's a smart bunch. We're not talking about who has the better chip or whether user interface A is better than user interface B. The weight of published findings is stacked so far on one side of the ledger, and yet so many people find it very difficult to accept it.
Well, to run the risk of goading Mr. Declan, who's only on the phone and not here personally, the Ayn Rand freaks hate anybody with authority. They don't want anybody telling them what to do, where to go, and they see the black helicopters and the Trilateral Commission and all this crap coming over the hillside because now they've got global warming and it's universal, and everybody knows that that's the biggest danger, is that the UN is going to run their lives. And that's what they see behind this whole thing, this weird conspiracy of scientists who might make $50,000 a year instead of going to work for Exxon for $2 million.
All right, let me be fair to Declan. Declan, I'll throw this one out to you. Do you believe that scientists have made a compelling argument that the global mean temperature of the Earth is rising significantly? And even if it is rising, how much is caused by man?
Well, those are the two important questions. It's important to focus on the scientists instead of bloviating about Ayn Rand and black helicopters. I mean, that doesn't really lead to a productive conversation, and Harry knows that, and he's just having fun, but other people may not. What do scientists agree on? They agree that the global mean temperature is about 1 degree Fahrenheit higher than it was a century ago. CO2 levels have risen as well by about 30% over a few hundred years. But the interesting thing is that this temperature rise of 1 degree Fahrenheit is actually at the bottom end of what the climate models had predicted. So then we start moving into the questions like, how much of the rise?
That's actually not true, Declan.
Why don't satellite observations show the same rise in temperature? What's likely to happen over the next few decades? What are the cost of measures like Kyoto? Implement them, would it really make a difference? And so we start to have to ask different questions when moving into the policy realm, like costs and benefits.
Declan, actually, you made a mistake there. Actually, the 1 degree Fahrenheit rise at the lower end of the models, you're talking about the rise in temperature in the 20th century, and primarily most of that rise took place before computer models existed. So what you're looking at, the computer models are now saying in this century there'll be a 3 to 5 degree raise.
If you look at some of the models, even 10 or 15 years ago, they anticipated much more in the last 15 years.
Well, actually, the science has actually been converging. It's all the studies have actually been converging toward a point. It's actually, I mean, it's one of the things about this debate is it's difficult to argue with a measurement. And basically, people are finding the temperatures are rising and it is accelerating as carbon does. Now, human caused or not, there was some debate on that. The great weight of opinion now says, yes, it is primarily anthropocentric. You know, it is caused by man. There are some natural contributions, but actually the natural contributions may have even lowered it, should have lowered it a little bit. But
it does make sense to me that it is human caused. We're not quibbling about whether warming is happening. It does appear to be happening. We're quibbling about how much it's happening and how much is and how much it's likely to happen in the future. I mean, if you look at James Hansen of NASA, who invented greenhouse theory, and Richard Lindzen of MIT, who's probably the most respected climatologist in the world, they say that even if nothing is done today to restrict gases, we're only going to see 1 degree Celsius rise in the next 50 to 100 years. That's not that much.
Well, yeah, but the other 90% of the scientists in the world are saying 3 to 5, and they're also saying 23 centimeters. I mean, actually, they are on the one end just because they happen to be at MIT. There's also people at MIT who say it's going to go higher. But if you look at large studies of it, it's going to go pretty high. Now, the question is, why do people get upset? I definitely agree with Harry in a lot of ways. People do feel lifestyles can be imposed, and they do see the cost in it. But also, at the same time, I think sometimes what I think the people who are very against this ignore is that there will be solutions come out that actually could be quite good. What's interesting, and I think this has addressed a lot of issues. I read a lot of these climate articles. If you write something about solar power, you get all these people writing in, oh, it's too expensive. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's all those damn environmentalists, blah, blah, blah.
True.
I wrote one on clean coal. And a lot of the same people wrote in saying, this is a great solution. This is fantastic. Less pollutants. And they still, so what it was, they liked it. And also there was a sense they liked it because they knew the environmentalists wouldn't like it. So a sense that they all actually kind of like the same goals.
Yeah, there are,
they just don't like each other.
There are global warming political parties, and they're going to be all over the world, and the anti-global warming party is going to be based in North America because that's where it's best funded, and that's where the money's coming from, and that's where the petroleum industry is most in control. Europe has been paying double to triple what we pay for gasoline for 30 or 40 years. They know gasoline's got to go away. Americans don't know that, and they don't want to hear it, and that's what's behind this.
I think a lot of this politicization, at least in this country, it's tied back to Al Gore. Not that Gore is responsible for making this an issue, although he has his own...
He's a good symbol to hate.
Very good symbol to hate. There's a lot of residual antipathy towards Bill Clinton from some parts of this country. And when Gore became the poster child for the environmental movement or sound the alarm on global warming, a lot of that, it seems, got transferred where, you know, he's held up to ridicule as the posturing of yet just another preening politician. What's his name from Oklahoma? James Inhofe.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he's called what, global warming the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people, has had nothing but dismissive comments to make about Gore and his recent appearance before Congress.
And just one really important thing I think to say, I'm just a journalist, but I grew up with scientists. I know a lot of scientists, and it's time to say something good for science. Science works. It works better than anything else. They haven't solved HIV. There are a lot of problems science hasn't solved, but it's done a hell of a lot better than any of your other choices. If you want to pray about global warming and the climate, I welcome you to it, but don't be buying any real estate on the beach in Miami. Science is going to do a better job of dealing with this. It may not be exact, but its percentage of success is going to be a lot higher than any alternative.
And I'd like to say something good about the oil companies.
We're fans of science and technology here.
Not a lot of the people who email about this aren't.
Let's not cut off debate early on. Global warming is becoming something of a religion. You ask someone, do you believe in global warming? let's argue about the science. Let's debate the science, but let's not ask them if they believe in a religion.
People have debated the science for 10 years. I mean, it's pretty indisputed. I mean, it's...
We're debating it now.
Right now, the last report was that there's a 90 to 99% probability, and this was a 350-something studies, that global warming is caused by humans. It's not really a big debate. But I'd like to say something good on the...
We were just arguing 5 minutes ago about whether it's going to be 1 degree Celsius or more.
No, you were arguing on facts that are actually not substantiated, Declan. You were arguing
Can I say something good
on behalf of the oil companies?
Please. All right, guys, I think what we've just heard for the last 10, 15 minutes or so reflects what's going on in that wider cyber arena. One day, 20 years from now, maybe we'll know whether any of us were right, and hopefully at that point it won't be too late to do
anything
about it.
I'll meet you on the beach in Kansas.
Definitely not in San Francisco. Thanks again to my colleagues, Harry Fuller and Michael Kanellis, and on the line, Declan McCullough. Hope to see you back here next week. This is Charlie Cooper.